And Lord, help us to not have wandering minds and wandering hearts, but to focus on you and just to be grateful, just to praise you for your grace, your mercy, your long-suffering, how you love us, so unlovable, so wretched, so vile, and yet you love us and you've saved us. So thank you. And as we look at a prayer in the Bible this morning, would you speak to us in the way that we need to hear? And then as we go to prayer, would you, Holy Spirit, lead us one prayer, united in one spirit. Lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're looking at a tragedy in David's life today, and I'm calling it the tragedy in Ziklag. You've got some notes there, and just before we get into the text, if you'll just look at that picture up at the top of the, I don't know if you can see it or not very well, but way down at the bottom is Ziklag. Halfway up is Aphek, and on near the top is Jezreel. The setting here in this particular prayer is David in some of the final years of his being pursued by Saul, kind of had a backslidden giving up or whatever you want to call it. And so he goes to King Achish with the Philistines, and he is so tired of running from Saul, he says, I'll go to the Philistines and I'll be safe there. When you're in the Lord's will and you start doing things for your own personal safety, that clearly is not, you don't go into the enemy's camp. That's not a good place to find refuge, right? And David is there for, it says, 1 full year and 4 months. And he's raiding he first goes to Achish there in Gath, and then they make friends and kind of that thing. And so David said, I don't want to dwell in your royal city with you. And so Achish gave him this city, Ziklag. And so that was kind of David's city. And he had his 600 men with him. And he would raid the Philistine allies and come back to, and he'd kill everyone, man, woman, and child, and bring back the spoil and report back to Achish, and giving the impression, if not the outright lie, that he had conquered the Israelites. He had taken this from the Israelite villages and so forth, which he didn't. So he did that for 1 year and 4 months, but he had Achish's favor. And so now Philistines are going to go away up to Jezreel. They're almost up to the Sea of Galilee. And they're going to have a mighty fight against the Israelites. So they mass their army. And David and his 600 men go with them. So not only has he joined the enemy camp in refuge, now he's going with the enemy to fight the Israelites, to fight his brothers. But halfway up in Aphek there, that's about estimated 50 to 75 miles from Ziklag, the princes of the Philistines kind of take stock and they say, what is that guy and his men doing with us? Didn't Saul say that he killed his thousands and David his 10,000s? We don't want him in the battle with us. In the heat of the battle, he'll turn and be our enemy. So he said, get him out of here. So Achish goes to David and he says, you know, you've been very faithful, although he didn't really know what was going on, I guess. But he says, you're going to have to leave. So leave early in the morning. So David and his 600 men leave early in the morning, and they do a three-day march. Now, I don't know, you guys, young and strong, could do 75 miles in 3 days, but boy, that's hoofing it, isn't it? 25 miles a day with whatever you're carrying with you. And so I'm sure when they approached Ziklag, they were just so looking forward to their families and their beds and rest. And as they approach the city, they see nothing but smoke. And as they get there, the horror upon horrors is Ziklag has been pillaged. All of the children and wives and family are gone. Livestock is all gone. The city has been burned. It's been raided. And now we see, as we pick it up here in chapter 30, David's got a real problem on his hands because he's got man rebelling against him now. How could this happen? David, how could you leave this our city defenseless? They want to stone him to death because they're so upset. So this is a pretty good tragedy. I don't know how many of you have been in such a tragedy, but it seems to me like it's a pretty big deal. So the purpose of the prayer that I want to point out this morning is, what do you do when you're in a great, great tragedy? Well, I think we want to look in this case at what David did, certainly at what he did right. And he did a lot of things right here. So in verse 30, chapter 30, verse 1, Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacking Ziklag and burned it with fire and so forth. I mentioned that, taken captives. David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. So you've gone 75 miles in 3 days. You're absolutely emotionally drained to the point you can't even cry anymore. Now that is pretty emptied of self, isn't it? And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. So here we see David's condition. I consider this a big blunder. I don't think David should be here at this point. He's in the enemy's camp, and I think that whole year and 4 months was a blunder, and here is just kind of a result of that blunder of taking off with the Philistines and leaving the Ziklag totally uncovered. So David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But look at this. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So if you don't remember anything else this morning, anytime you're in a tragedy, go to the Lord, go to the Lord, and go to the Word of God, because we're going to see David, in effect, going to the Word of God here too. So David strengthened himself, and the Lord is God, and here's where we get into with reference to the Word. He went to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son. Please bring the ephod here to me. Now the ephod in those days, with the Urim and the Thummim and the pockets, was in effect their way of finding out what to do. Just like today, we have the written word in our hands to find out what to do. So go to the Word of God. He said, bring the ephod here to me. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, two questions. One, shall I pursue this troop? Two, shall I overtake them? And God answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So notice there's an answer, there's a promise, but there is pursuit required. You got to fight the battle. You got to fight the battle. Your promised victory, your promised, the Lord is in this and telling you what to do, but you shall pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and they came about halfway to where they're going to find these guys, to Brook Besor. But one third now can't make it. Now, he's only got 600 men against the Amalekite forces, whatever they are. But now, almost like with Gideon, God kind of thins them down. So there's 200. They're too tired. They just can't get across that brook. So they stay behind. Verse 10, David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 men stayed behind who were so weary they could not cross the brook. Now they find this Egyptian, and they revive this Egyptian who had been left for dead, who with the... He was kind of a slave to the Amalekites, and he leads them on to the Amalekites. And now, verse 17, then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Now, what superhuman efforts are this? You know, 75 miles of walking, and then emotionally drained, and then going another whatever it is to Ziklag from where they were. It says that they fought all day long. But you know, they had to have the adrenaline really going because they were fighting for their families. They were fighting for everything they had. And then it says, none a man of the Amalekites escaped except 400 men who fled on camels. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away and rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, spoil or anything. David recovered them. He took all the flocks and herds that had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. So David comes out of this tragedy with more than he went into it. Isn't that God's work in our lives? How often does he give us more than we deserve? The grace always, really. And so here we see David coming out of that with more than he went into it. They come back now with the spoil, and they get to the Brook Besor, meeting these one-third of their group, 200 men. And then the guys who had gone on, it says, all the wicked and worthless men. How would you like to have an army filled? Well, I don't know about filled, but it says they were all discontent earlier. And here they're all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil. We got it. It's ours. They stayed back. They're too lazy. They can't go. And David said, a very great principle, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us. They didn't take it. The Lord gave it to them. This is bounty from the Lord. It goes to everybody in a sense. And I think that fits us as well. Those who are on the field, praise the Lord for that. Those who are staying back praying, I think they will share in the blessings as well, because the blessings, salvation is given by the Lord. Man can't even earn it, right? I mean, we can witness every day of our life. We can't save anybody. We can talk about the Lord and show, but only the Spirit, only the Lord can provide the salvation. So it was from that day forward, David made a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. So this is the story of Ziklag, and I know you know it well, but remember, in a tragedy, here is David. He inquires of the Lord, which is the only time, or the first time anyway, we have recorded of him inquiring of the Lord since that year and 4 months, because there's never any recording of him ever asking the Lord for anything during that time. So he's backslidden, he's in the enemy's camp, but now this tragedy strikes. He inquires of the Lord, and he is faithful to the Lord, and he does what the Lord says, and the Lord gives them the victory. Father, we thank you that we can inquire of you. We thank you that we can pray to you. And here we are this morning, Lord, his precious brothers. I just thank you that we can know that our prayers will be effective because of your faithfulness. You invite us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Guide us by your Spirit. We would pray absolutely as one, because being led by you, Holy Spirit. Help us to pray as you would lead us for the conference, for the speakers, for the hearers, for our ears to be mixed with faith to hear from you today, Lord. The last full day of the conference, may we receive and take with us what you have for us, Lord. Lead us now in prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. Lord, may we stay close to you this entire day. We pray for the speakers today, and again we pray that you would mix our ears with faith to hear from you. We pray for time with fellowshipping with one another. Put us in touch with those who either need a little encouragement or just need to talk, or we need to just come to you together or whatever. And give us that sensitivity to redeem the time today, Lord. You've given us a day ahead and such a beautiful spot, and pretty much free from distractions, Lord, at least from the outside world. So, Lord, guide us and direct us by your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.